Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them. So please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 29 of the 5-Minute Major podcast, STL, presented by Across the Board. We're happy to be back. It was a crazy week, of course, with the trade deadline. We got lots to talk about. We'll be running through all of the trades that were made a little bit before and at the deadline. Then we're going to express our thoughts on the Blues not doing anything, and then we'll talk about recent games and then how the playoff hunt's going. I don't even know what else to say right now. We'll get into it. Josh, you can take over from here.
Mike and I went round for round with the lovely trade deadline. But before we get into that, thank you to everyone that has followed us on Twitter or X or whatever you're going with these days. We are over 100 followers on there, so we are over 100 followers on every single one of our accounts. So
yeah,
slowly but surely, we are growing, so thank you so, so much. We appreciate all the love and support you guys have given us.
Yeah, unbelievable. I think the trade deadline honestly bumped us up like 15 followers.
Yeah.
Because you were on there all day. I was working. I was kind of, you know, dabbling a little bit, but you were just like,
yeah, literally. <all in. laughs> So I tested positive for COVID last week, as Mike knows. So I was at home from work, going stir crazy. So the whole week, all I did was look at Twitter.
Yeah.
For this. And then I literally was watching NHL Network, laptop to my other side and phone in my hand, just retweeting out like, responding, tweeting, everything. We were just running the headquarters, which we are hoping at some point next year that we can just live stream the day of the deadline coverage.
I was thinking that. I was like, I'm at work. I got to take off.
Yeah. Like, it's
genuinely take a PTO day. We get together.
Yeah.
And just go on Instagram Live, or like, I can maybe show you how to set up like OBS and we can stream it on Twitch or YouTube or something and just. Yeah. Talk through everything in real time for hours all day.
It'd be great.
Sounds amazing.
Starting at like 7 a.m. we just start running till
just do a 24-hour NHL. That would be good.
It'd
actually
be cool. I'd
we'll
like
to think
idea.
About that. All right. Anyways, all right. Let's get into it.
Yeah, jumping into the deadlines. Before we kind of start, the biggest one I was not prepared for, Boston tore it down completely, and Brad Marchand, man, they are going to have the biggest rat line in Florida. When you get to the playoffs and you have Matthew Tkachuk, Brad Marchand, and Sam Bennett on your second line, it is goon squad galore right there. Watch out for the flying elbows, the slew foots, and the hits. It's going to be great.
Florida is set to make another run.
Yes.
They were already set.
Yep.
And then they went out and did what they did. This, I saw a tweet. This is like the third year in a row they went after like a vet captain to bring in. So they did it with Okpozo last year. They're doing it with Marchand this year. Just genius GM work from Zito. This guy is unbelievably smart.
You're in your prime. You might as well keep adding to your prime to help you get as many cups in the short window. Because as we've
learned,
you can win a couple cups and then you have to tear it down.
Yeah.
And we're seeing Chicago was in it for so long and so good, and now they're having to rebuild, and they're struggling with that rebuild right now.
Right, because they didn't prepare themselves to have a transition. They basically just went on that 10-year run.
Which 10-year run is
great.
Fantastic.
Right,
it's
great.
It's a dynasty.
They got three cups out of it, right? And then, but now you're just 5 years in the gutter.
Yeah.
But like we said in the last episode, they're starting to bring in some young guys. Spencer Knight's a good goalie, blah, blah, blah. We'll get into that. He's
super good for them.
I think so, too. Oh, I think he's going to be a sneaky good starter for them. All right, let's get into the trades. This is before the deadline, which was on the 7th. March 4th. Kind of a big one for Blues fans, I'd say. This is a guy that we were looking at for a while. The Oilers acquired Trent Frederick and then a couple of prospects. It looks like Max Jones and Peter Hauser in a three-team trade that involved the Bruins and the Devils. The Bruins acquired Max Warner, a second-round pick, and a fourth-round pick. And then the Jersey acquired Shane Lachance. So basically, Edmonton traded... What
some,
is that?
Some picks and some prospects.
Some picks and some prospects for Frederick.
Yeah.
Help but laugh at Edmonton because they're searching for a speedy forward and a top six defenseman. They could have just saved their lives if they would have kept the offer sheets from happening.
This is the karma of giving no move clauses and no trade clauses. So you couldn't move Victor Arvidsson at all.
Right.
You add Trent, who I love him. Don't get me wrong. He's a bottom six player at best.
Oh, yeah.
And really a fourth line player at best.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is the speedy forward they were looking for at all.
Yeah. And he's hurt.
Yeah.
So he'll be back, but I mean, he's been so bad this year, man. I almost feel bad for him.
Also, talk about a draft deadline where injured players were getting moved this year, which is super weird. So Frederick was moved. Brad Marchand, who's also out for another couple of weeks, was moved. It's a very interesting deadline in itself.
Yeah.
But at this point, I give Edmonton a C for this deadline just with this and then their acquisition for defense. But like, yikes, man. Like, everyone else is loading up for the arms race, and here's Edmonton like, yeah, we're okay.
Well, they screwed up, man. We've talked about it. They get Skinner, who's been a ghost. They get Arvidsson, who's been a ghost. The two oldies that used to score. And then they let their prospects walk for nothing, practically. Let's go Armstrong. Thank you for that one. And your team's kind of in a gutter right now, too, after Four Nations. Like, I mean, they're going to make it. They're going to compete. But, like, it's not a good look right now. You gotta get a little momentum going in, or you're just going to get dead stopped by a team that's ready. You know?
My thing, too, is, like, you look at some of these other deals. Like, they could have been in on that market, which I think we'll talk about Ranton in here. But it sounds like they were in on that. But I'm very confused by that dynamic of how that all went down. But
yeah, we'll talk through that one.
Yeah.
All right, next one, bud.
Looks like Florida acquired goalie Vitek Vanecek from San Jose for forward Patrick Gills. And just a depth move.
It's a great trade because they lose Spencer Knight. You need a great backup goalie. And Vanecek went through a little bit of a playoff spurt with New Jersey?
I think. I mean, he's not going to have to play much. And
no.
The other thing, it's a stopgap just because Florida has two really amazing prospect goalies, too. That's the other thing. Like, Spencer Knight, as much as Florida probably is like, no, our goalie. You guys have two more goalies coming in that are just as good. I'm pretty sure one's like 6'8", too.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Good Lord.
Here's Vanecek. Playoff stats aren't great.
Okay.
He's only played in 10 games. He's seven starts. He's been in 10 games, so he had to fill in. That's not great. 2-4, 8.34 save percentage, and a 4.52 goals against. That's not very good.
No.
But he's older now. He had a little bit of a starting spurt in San Jose. Anyways, it's you need something when you lose Knight. Or trade Knight away. But in that trade, you get Seth Jones, which we already talked about. And he's...
Mike despises him, let me tell you.
I don't like him, but, I mean, for Florida, it's perfect. Like, they didn't even need it.
No.
And now they're even deeper.
And he's flourishing there.
Well, he's happy to be around amongst the palm trees and not playing with a bunch of people that, like, are still trying to gel, and the management in Chicago, like, still wants to keep losing. So it's like, he's ready to win.
Yeah, like let's see what he's got already. Florida game, 3 games. He's got 0 points, but he's a plus two, and he's playing 21 minutes of ice time.
He had a nice couple chances too. I saw some highlights, so he's in the mix.
I will say, if we want to talk about people that we traded that we thought were going to be superstars, Scotty Perunovic is a healthy scratch every night now. So
it was after Dobson came back, so he filled in and he did all right.
In the beginning, he did pretty good, and then it started to tail back off.
He kind of was like a half point a game for the first 4 games, and then I think the 5th game, maybe he was like a -4.
Yeah.
And then he got healthy scratched.
Brandon Saad's 10 games in with Vegas, 3 goals, 2 assists, +1, playing 15 minutes. He's a nice depth piece, probably going to get a cup.
Now he's doing what he should be doing, which is a half point per game player scoring every other game.
It's fine.
Good for him. I'm happy for him. I'll never be mad at Brandon Saad. No. Legend. All right. Next one. This one's long. And not only is Florida going deep, Tampa Bay's starting to kind of go deep, and they went on a crazy run, and they're like fighting for number 2 in the Atlantic now.
Yeah.
They get Bjorkstrand and Gord from Seattle. Oh, sorry. There's more.
Yeah.
Bjorkstrand, Gord, Acuña, 5th round pick. From Seattle, I believe. Seattle gets Iisimat. I can't pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Michael Iisimat. A 2nd round, a 1st round, another 1st round, and then Detroit gets a 4th. So, I mean, Seattle, you get your picks. You get a forward to fill the place. So good for you. You're in rebuild mode or retool mode. Detroit, they do what we think the Blues should have done, which is get involved to get a pick. Good for them. Even though Detroit, yikes.
Yikes.
And Tampa goes and gets Gord, who won cups with Tampa, and Bjorkstrand, who's like a super low-key solid bottom 6 forward.
Yep.
Tampa Bay's like, I looked at the odds yesterday. They're +1,300 to win the cup. Throw $100 on that.
Yeah.
Like, they for sure have a chance. Like, it would really stink to see them play Florida in the 1st round.
It's probably going
to
happen.
I know. And I want them to be as separated as possible so they can end in a Florida battle in the Eastern Conference, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Good for you. I mean, all the teams involved win this, I think. You know, Seattle, I the fall from early grace stinks. I don't really know what happened up there, but they got to start getting rid of their old guys.
They invested in old guys, hardcore, and guys that were never really great superstars in like an Eberle.
Yeah, he's secondary.
And a Schwartz, who were all secondary kind of guys, and then you never found your true guy.
Yeah, it's so funny. I remember watching the expansion draft, and I'm like, they didn't get Tarasenko. They didn't get this guy. Like,
yeah, don't get me started. I'm losing Vince Dunn right now.
I mean, he's their superstar, I guess. He's all right. Like, I mean, he's really good, but I don't know. They don't have many forwards, and Matty Beniers has been brutal.
Yeah, I almost signed him long term.
I kind of feel bad for him.
He looks like a Buffalo purgatory player to me right now.
Yeah, you never know. You could trade him to Buffalo with like a 1st round and try and get Paterka out of it, or Tage, or like see what happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyways, Tampa Bay, they're going on a cup run, dude.
Yeah.
They're going to do it again. Hedman did get hurt last game, though. I haven't heard any more news on it, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan McDonagh can carry a lot of weight on that back end.
I mentioned that. We were watching. They came back from Buffalo down 5-3, 1-6-5. Duh. Buffalo blows every lead.
Yeah.
But Gensel had a hat trick. Sorry, Carolina. And then McDonagh was playing first power play unit. He played like the majority of the – I'm like, this guy's 45 years old.
Yeah.
He's probably the most underrated like defense. He's like a Slavin where like you don't notice – he makes every play look easy, super smart, and he contributes offensively.
Yeah, he's doing everything for them right now. But the
genius idea to bring him back.
Yeah, he's loved by that GM. And that GM was like, I don't really care about draft picks. I'll trade them all away if it means my team's going to be better. So props to you.
If you're still in that window, like we said, you got to do what you got to do. All right.
All right.
Wow. We're going to take a long time on this. Anyways.
We'll start powering through these a little bit. San Jose acquires Vincent Desjardins from the Penguins for a fifth-round pick. Nothing really to talk about there.
No.
We'll power through this next one here, too. Predators acquire Michael Bunting, who is hurt, I'm pretty sure, and a fourth-round pick in 2026 in exchange for Luke Shen and Tommy Novak.
Bunting's a disappointing player, man.
Yeah.
He's solid, but he's just been kind of not as good as I think he should be.
Middle tier.
Yeah.
Luke Shen, this is the beginning of his journey through the deadline.
Yeah.
I believe he was pretty outspoken about how he felt about Nashville, which is kind of the reason I'm thinking he got moved. He's like, I've never been on a team that can't score.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Novak is just a good addition piece. He'll be solid for them. Take this next one. I'm very happy. We had talked about this guy. Would have loved him here in St. Louis as well.
Yeah. And I tweeted out that this was probably the smartest pickup for the Panthers.
Yep.
They get Nico Sturm and a pick, seventh round, from San Jose for a fourth round pick. That's all it took. You get a fourth round pick, you get a player in a later round pick back. Sturm is like the best face-off man in the league.
Yeah.
You can throw him in if you need to win face-offs, and you're going to win them 60% of the time. Just a genius depth piece pickup.
Has a cup under his belt from the past.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Good pickup. Devils. I like this. It just sucks that their team's hurt right now. They could be a contender.
Yeah, they're not. At this point, it's over.
No, they're their first-round exit now. My prediction at the first episode was wrong. the Devils, they get Dumoulin from the Ducks for a prospect forward named Trapped and a second-round pick. So, Ducks, you get a pick. In a prospect. Devils, you get a little bit defensive help with Hamilton being injured. So and Markstrom's been hurt all year. It's just a bad look for the Devils right now, unfortunately. Hopefully they can power through. Here's another kind of flip-flopper. The Jets get Dredger from the Panthers, who take back Kakkonen. Just a little goalie trade. Florida getting even more goalies to throw in the mix for their cup run. So good for you. And the Jets, too. I mean, the Jets are a contender.
Yeah.
Until we see how the first round goes. You can't get too high of hopes with them. But
that's true.
Good little hockey trade there.
All right. This next one, Vegas acquires a former player of the past, Riley Smith, which I love this guy.
Yeah.
For forward Brendan Brisson and a third round pick in 2025. Good little depth piece. He's going to fit right back in. He knows half the team still. So it'll be good. It'll help them in the playoffs as well.
Yep.
The Rangers then acquire defenseman Carson Soucy from Vancouver for a third round pick, 2025 draft. Vancouver's tearing it down a little bit too. They traded off some of the depth that they had. I think they're just going to see what happens. If they get in, they're happy. If they don't, we got some work to do.
Yeah, I still think they traded the wrong guy.
Yep.
In JT Miller.
Should not have traded JT. You know where
EP looked more confident in the past couple games.
He helped them win last night.
He should be a 100-point player, and he's not right now.
You know where he's going to end up?
What's that?
Edmonton. He's gonna go play in Edmonton, man.
Yeah, you still gotta pay Bouchard. I think Bouchard's gone.
Oh my gosh! If you're Edmonton and you fumble Bouchard,
dude, he's horrible.
But I think what other defense do they have?
Nothing. I know. That's why it's Edmonton.
Are you doing a 1-for-1 Bouchard for Pettersson?
They might do that.
Find a way to do Victor Arvidsson and Bouchard and a first round pick
for Pettersson, and then
Pettersson
and Tyler Myers, like an oldie.
Tyler Myers or Brock Besser. Get both.
Well, then Edmonton's offense is solid, but their defense is awful. Just abyss. Are we surprised?
No.
All right. Into the next.
All right, Minnesota acquired Justin
Brezzo
from the Bruins in exchange for
Marat Knushkadiv.
I think it's Kuznetsov. Kuznetsov.
Yeah, we're in Jakub Lanko and a sixth round pick in 2026.
That was a butcher. What do you think about this? I know you mentioned Brazo for the Blues at one point.
Yeah, you know, it's a depth piece. Like, Minnesota also is quietly just trying to build up a solid foundation.
Yeah, to compete against Vegas and Colorado. Yeah,
like, honestly, it's like, you just have to have a strong enough foundation that'll last a 7-game series, because I feel like some of these are all going to go 7.
I think so, too. Like, the West is a gauntlet, and then you look at the East, and I genuinely think it's maybe 3 teams that have a chance, and everyone else is a joke. Mm-hmm. All right,
this is the big one.
This is probably the second or third biggest one. The Avs went out and got Brock Nelson and Willie DeFour from the Islanders for Callum Ritchie, Kylington, a first round pick in 26 or 27, depending on some conditions, and then the third round pick in 28. I feel bad for Brock Nelson, man. Beloved on Long Island. But I also don't, because he's going to have a chance to win a cup.
He's probably going to have a chance to win the cup, which I don't think. I think it's going to come down to Colorado and Dallas, but we shall see.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably play each other early on.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there, because Colorado just took over the third spot and they would be playing Dallas in the first round.
Yeah.
Which is going 7, 100%. The only reason it doesn't is because goaltending.
Yeah.
Brock Nelson, praise to you. You are a loyal, really solid hockey player, and Long Island will probably end up like retiring your number.
Wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back there in the
I mean, you could do the old Keith Kachuk trade, you come back eventually.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, a great pickup for the Avalanche, dude. Yeah. Like, we thought they were done.
They come
out and they're ready to win again. Like, why?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we complained about them not having a middle six really to a bottom six, and they have solved all of those issues with this, and then they go to Charlie Coyle later on in the deadline.
We'll mention that one later on too when it comes up. Unreal. Which,
the Islanders did flip that defenseman immediately to Anaheim for future considerations.
Yeah. So the Ducks get Kylington for something.
Bag of pucks.
Yep.
All right. Edmonton. They require a former Blue Jake Walman from San Jose for a conditional first round pick in the 2026 draft and forward Carl Berglund. Detroit, you look terrible right now, because you get a fifth, a fourth.
They got like a fourth round pick.
Yeah. And then they just flipped him for a conditional first.
Yeah.
Yikes,
so,
man.
Props to Walman. He's going to get the play with Connor McDavid. Yeah.
He will stay in Edmonton. That's the guy that they'll sign, and he'll stay there.
And Bouchard walks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's their bargain bin Bouchard.
You know what? I the Oilers are the funniest team, man. I want McDavid to win a cup, but I almost want him to win it somewhere else.
Basically, for them, it's like, whatever we do, we're keeping Draisaitl and McDavid, and then we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah. I mean, but you kind of have to.
But with that, though, come on, man. Like, you don't have defense. Skinner's not having a great year, but, like, tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Okay, Edmonton, you're not winning the cup this year. It's not happening with everyone else. Like, there's no way.
I mean, they had like the best odds at the beginning of the year. I mean, now it's Florida, but
yeah, you are not getting past Florida.
No. Too many vets on that team for McDavid to get by. There's no way.
They
have Skinner in that, dude.
Yeah, you got to beat Vasilevsky in Tampa? I don't think so.
What about Bob? He's like 37, still going for the Vezina.
Yeah, I mean, Bob's a freak of nature. Bob is built different, okay? All right, moving on here. Capitals.
We gotta stop doing these Oilers tangents. This is not an Oilers podcast.
Washington Capitals acquire Anthony Beauvillier.
Beauvillier.
Mike's got the pronunciation.
I'm just helping you out. Sorry.
From the Penguins for a second round pick, which another thing, I don't know how they got a second for him, but.
What a flip.
Good job, Dubas.
Yeah, that was Doofus. Dubas made one good trade, and it was for a second round pick.
Yeah. Hey, we'll take it.
Oh, yeah, what a flip. All right. This is another kind of sneaky big one.
Hockey trade, man.
Yeah, big hockey trade. I didn't think Buffalo was going to do it. Yeah. They finally did something, but I think it was still a stupid move. The Senators get Dylan Cousins and Dennis Gilbert and a second-round pick from the Sabres for Norris and Bernard Docker. Feel bad for Norris. I really do. Him and Brady were like besties.
Yeah, that's Brady. Brady's not well right now.
He was choked up, but Brady did score two goals in an OT win last night. Yeah. He's still going to play through it.
He's going to end up staying in Ottawa. It's going to happen. I hate it, but he's not going anywhere.
I love Dylan Cousins. He's super young and has a bunch of potential. I don't know if he's going to stay in Ottawa. He's probably going to test free agency.
I think he still has. Cousins has.
How many years?
Multiple.
Really? I thought it was like maybe one or two. Okay.
No, he's got plenty of term.
Okay. So, well, maybe if he plays well in Ottawa, maybe you flip him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it depends. I mean, they might like him and he might gel well. He's in year two
of 7 years.
Okay. So like Perron will be gone and he can fill that, you know, line or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, he's a solid center. He can play on that second line. He's going to be playing behind Tim Stützle.
It sucks that they got to get rid of Josh Norris for that, but
yeah,
that's okay.
But yeah, and then Jacob Bernard-Docker, man, he has had his fair shares of ups and downs, but he's a former first-round pick and just keeps giving opportunities. And that's, I will say, Kevin BX, I had a good point about that. I mean, these guys that are first-round, second-round picks just get more chances. And Paul Bissonnette's on there, and people probably don't. He was a fourth-round pick, I'm pretty sure. So, like, and was a defenseman when he was drafted.
Yeah.
So, like, you start losing chances as you get later in the draft of how many chances a team's going to give you. First-round picks will just keep, because you can't be wrong in the first round, it feels like. So the teams will keep giving you shots. Like Pajarvi and Neil Yakupov, how many teams bounced around? Blues were one of them. They thought they could find gold in it and just didn't.
Yeah.
But interesting move. I think it could work out well for Ottawa more than it does for Buffalo. Norris is, I mean, we'll see how long he wants to be there. That was a guy I could see the Blues still wanting at some point. But we'll see. You know where Norris probably would have been very beneficial was if Detroit would have went and got Norris.
Yeah, because Detroit's in a skid.
Yeah.
They're back on a 5-game losing streak and they're out. And what a botch job that's been after four nations.
Don't you worry, we're gonna have a breaking trade for Detroit here in a second.
off season. Yarkseman trades himself back to Tampa Bay.
Jumping back in, though, the Kings did acquire Kuzmenko and a 7th-round pick from Philly for a 3rd-round pick in 2027.
Here's your flip job.
Yeah,
Kuzmenko. We mentioned it. He's too soft for Philly.
Yeah, he wasn't going to last in Philly.
But he looked pretty involved in L.A.
He looked pretty solid last night.
Yeah, so he's an L.A. player.
Yeah. Winnipeg Jets did acquire Luke Shen from the Penguins for a 2nd-round pick. And a 4th-round pick. So
Dubas with another good pick trade.
Which he has loaded up on the draft capital. I think he's got 31 picks in the top 4 rounds in the next 4 seasons.
If he's smart, he packages a first with Crosby and just gets a haul.
He's not. Crosby will never go. It'll be
I know.
Paying a team multiple picks to take on Carlson's contract. That's the only way they're going to be able to move Carlson is if they package draft picks and
All right.
Detroit,
they're back.
They're back, baby. What did you get? What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, Yzerman's the weirdest dude ever. He said he has this death plan. You know, think about how many goalies have been recycled with Detroit in the past like three seasons. Oh, look, they get another one for Chicago. They went out and got Mrazek and Craig Smith.
Craig!
And they got rid of Valeno, who was on... He was my breakout player for Detroit this year, and I... Yeah, so Detroit... Nothing burger, you waste a trade on two oldies.
Yeah, I don't... Now they're running three goals.
Your team's on a five-game losing streak. Like, what's going on? Like, why didn't they trade Tarasenko? He's been awful. You probably... It's a seller's market. You probably could have gotten at least a second or a third-round pick. But I guess you're not selling because you're in it. Like, it's a blue situation, I guess, but getting Mrazek doesn't make sense to me at all. Because what are you running? You're running Talbot. And
you have Talbot, and you have...
Lyon. And now you have Mrazek.
Yeah.
Is Lyon getting sent down?
I think they'll carry three. That's the way I think.
Such a weird play. We just get into this. You texted me and you said Yzerman might get fired next year. And I'm leaning and agreeing with you.
And everyone's like, well, the 2018 draft was just a bust for Detroit, which it sounds like
7 years ago.
Yes. But that was the last draft of the previous general manager, I believe.
Oh,
and they're saying, well, maybe he gets, and I'm like, I don't think so. Like, you have moved and brought back and swapped and done all this stuff, and you guys are middle tier. So I really wonder if this is the final straw. Much like we talk about the front office of Toronto, you guys have to make it past the first round of the playoffs. Really need to make the conference finals, or I think people are getting fired there. I think the same thing is going to happen in Detroit here, because the Yzer plan that we have talked about is not going well.
Yeah, and every time we used to mention the Yzer plan, you know, episodes ago, we would have hope, you know, like he's got a plan. Like, we sounded like Detroit fans. Like, he's got a plan. It's like Dutch from Red Dead Redemption 2. I've got a plan. Well, your plan isn't working, brother.
You sucked in the draft that year. You had two first round picks for Detroit. Philip Zadina. He's a bust. Joe Vileno, which you just traded. And then good lord, none of these other guys are even.
You know what would be funny? If Valeno shows up to Chicago and just starts lighting it up. Oh, man, that'd be so funny for Detroit. I feel so bad, though, because I love their team. Like, Seider and Larkin and Raymond. Here's
the thing. That's the one thing I can say. So, like, 2018, he wasn't really as big of a part of that draft. But then you jump to 19, he got Mortz. Then you jump to 2020, where he got Raymond, and then you jump to 21, where he got Simone Edvinson, who's going to be a stud defenseman.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's one of those where you're just like, I mean, he's drafted, and then Alexei Sendepilinka. Like, he has other guys, and then Michael Brandesgear Nygaard, who's going to be a stud too. Like, I don't know, but you should. At this point, you look more like a rebuild than you were a retool, and you still have poor Dylan Larkin, who I want the man to be freed.
Yeah. If there was one, we'll get into the Blues. I don't want to say anything yet. All right, let's go on tangents. I love this trade for the Jets. They get Brandon Tanev from Seattle for a second round pick, and good on Seattle. Second rounder.
Yeah.
Wow. And Tanev goes back to his former home and is going to play in the playoffs, and he's a buzzsaw, so good for them. Big one for the Leafs. They couldn't get Braden Schenn. They went out and got the next best thing from Philly, and that is Scott Laughton. And they got him with a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick. And then the Flyers get Grabenkin and a first round pick. So I'm not really sure why Scott Laughton is like this high up on people's list. Is that because there's no one else?
There's no other centers.
I mean, it's a consolation prize. I'd say, I mean, I can't say it's an overpay because they're fighting for a cup this year.
I mean, right now, if you were Toronto, I don't know why you didn't do the Charlie Coyle deal.
It's a good idea. I mean,
you could have got Laughton and Charlie Coyle.
I mean, they could have flipped Robertson too for something.
You could have flipped Robertson, which I would say is the equivalent of a Casey Middlestat.
Yeah, maybe a little less, but
and
yeah,
and a prospect and pick, because picks don't matter to you if you're Toronto right now. You have enough prospects, and you can sell off some of these prospects.
Right. So I don't know. It's an interesting trade. I mean, good for them.
Yeah, I was gonna say St. Louis boy Luke Kunin did also get traded out of San Jose to Columbus for a fourth round pick.
Oh, I missed that. Nice. Yeah. And good on Columbus. I mean, they're still in it, man. Good for them. All right, now to the next one. This is a nothing burger. Devils trade Chalowski for Beckman from the Islanders.
Yeah.
Don't know these guys. Here we go. This is your Coyle trade. The Avalanche get Coyle and a fifth round pick. And the Bruins get Middlestat, Zellers, and a second round pick. I'd say good trade.
Yeah.
I'm not Coyle needs to be in the playoffs, man. He's a playoff hockey player. And the Avalanche, dude, they're deep now. They're deep in their forward lines. And not only did they get Coyle a vet, they went out and got Eric Johnson back from the Flyers for Giovanni Smith.
For a bag of pucks.
Unreal trade there too.
Giovanni Smith too is a great bottom six guy. Like he doesn't mess much up. He doesn't he plays a solid two way game for you.
Yeah, yeah. He's just a depth and scratch player.
Yeah, and then Eric Johnson's just that leadership role. Which another guy that would have been nice right now to have a little of that extra depth in our locker room and more experience. Yeah. But
yeah,
the Rangers did acquire Nicholas Abe
Kubel.
From Buffalo for Eric Brännström. It's
a hockey trade.
Yeah.
It's a random one.
Followed by the Blackhawks acquiring forward Aku Ratti and defenseman Victor Soderstrom and Shea Weber. Shea Weber, folks, was traded to the Utah Hockey Club for a fifth round pick.
From. So he's a Blackhawk now.
Heck yeah. Shea Weber back in the Central Division. Lace him up, big guy.
That contract's horrible. I guess Utah just wanted a pick.
Whatever.
I mean, they went out and signed all their free agents that were going to be gone, so good for them. They're sticking with what they got.
Shea Weber is the new Chris Pronger of contract right now.
True.
All right.
Big one, bud.
The big trade here, Dallas Stars acquire forward Mika Rantanen from Carolina for forward Logan Stankoven.
Yep.
A conditional first round pick in 26, a conditional first round pick in 28, a third round pick in 2026, a third round pick in 2027.
Yeah.
So Carolina essentially got Stankoven, all these picks. Who else did they get in this deal?
The Gensel thing, to me, I think is worse than this one.
Yeah.
I can't believe they couldn't get Gensel to sign. But I mean, when a team like Tampa Bay comes knocking with no state tax, like in palm trees, sure.
Yeah, but and the same thing with Rantanen going to Dallas.
No state tax, you make more money on a $12 million contract.
You moved back into the Central Division and you took less money than what was offered in Colorado and less money that was offered in Carolina. And apparently there was also an offer from Edmonton, but they just couldn't get a deal done.
He didn't want to be up in Edmonton.
Yeah.
No way.
I don't blame you.
The Stars, man, they're built to win right now. And they're built to win in the next 5 years too.
Like,
yeah,
they got Randon for eight years at 12. They got Wyatt Johnson at 5 years for only like 8.4 steal.
Yeah, it's the future center.
You get Ottinger for length. You've got who else? I mean, this team is going to stack Robertson, too.
Robertson, like, you got Heiskanen on the back end. You got Elias Lindell.
I mean, this team's unbelievable.
Thomas Harley. Like,
Jim Neal. GM of the year, back-to-back years, he's going to get it for a third year.
Yeah, I don't see how he doesn't. And the other thing I'm very interested when we do some off-season stuff, what Dallas looks like, because money's going to get tight. Yes, the cap's going up. Is Jamie Benn there? You still have Matt Duchene. Tyler Seguin's still hurt. Like,
it's going to be interesting. I mean, Seguin and Benn are gone, in my opinion.
I don't think you can let Benn go. That is the face of your team for so long.
You got to pay him somehow. I mean, unless he takes a $900,000 contract.
Which it sucks because we have so many wingers right now, but that guy in your locker room in the Blues right now would be so helpful.
Him and Shen are like buddies, too.
To build the culture of what it takes to win.
Yeah, 100% true.
He can come back with Suter, which Suter's shown that it is a great place because rumors are he wants to move his whole family here now.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as his wife lets him.
Yeah, well, that's how it works sometimes.
All right.
Jumping in.
Let's skip some of these. We're talking right now.
I was going to say, I think we
can skip. Let's jump to the rat in Carlo, and then we'll end it.
Okay. Let's see. All right, I'll do the rat. So Florida Panthers acquired Brad Marchand from Boston Bruins for a conditional second-round pick in the 2027 draft. It is what it is. He's hurt. He's still out for another couple weeks. But good Lord, like we talked about, Bill Zito, I think, also could be for a manager of the year.
Yeah, easily. So
it's going to be between him and Dallas's manager. So
yeah,
good deal. It's going to help in the playoffs. That's going to be a tough team to play against. They have depth. They have playoff experience. They're gritty. They would suck to play in a 7-game series because they will beat the ever-living daylights out of you. And Brad still has a lot in the tank, in my opinion.
When it comes to the playoffs, he flips the switch.
Yeah.
So, he's one of those players.
Good deal. I didn't have him. Once we kind of finish this, I'll run my top 10 trade candidates, and we'll kind of go through who did get dealed and who didn't, and then we'll jump to the Blues and get this wrapped up.
Yeah, we're talking. It's hard not to. The Leafs got Brandon Carlo from the Bruins, which is the first trade between the teams since 2011, which is insane. The Boston Bruins get Minton, a first-round pick, and a fourth-round pick. That's a heavy price to pay for Brandon Carlo.
Yep.
Good on Toronto, though, man. I genuinely think the trades they made set him up to go on a run.
Yep.
100%.
They had to.
You got Craig Berube, too. He's one heck of a coach, so good luck out there. You just need Marner to show up, Matthews to stay healthy, and everyone else to do their thing. And same with Wool, stay healthy.
Yeah, Fraser Minton's going to be a stud too. So
yeah,
you got to pay the price. And like, this is what we're going to have to look at, Blues fans, going forward. Like, we have prospects very similar to a Fraser Minton that they're going to get moved to get players that you need. So
yeah, it just depends. Just depends on the plans.
Yeah.
And we'll get into our thoughts after we run through these games really quick. Hello, hockey fans. If you're looking for a fun way to spend the night with your friends and family, look no further than Across the Board's new NHL licensed penny hockey game. It's easy to set up, learn, and play. Simply open the box, place your penny hockey game with your favorite team's logo wherever you please, and play. Across the Board even provides a penny for you with your purchase. Josh and I have been having a blast mastering this game together and can't wait to try out all of their other games too. Be sure to check them out at www.shop.atbgame.com or visit their locations in Crestwood and West County Mall in De Pere. For any inquiries, email them at customerservice@atbgame.com. Across the Board, handcrafted, unique, and fun as HE double hockey sticks. Josh, I'm not even going to say who scored.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say the score, who won.
Yeah, we're
kind of do our little cliff notes, and then we'll talk about.
I will say I dropped the ball on my top 10 list here. So
let you do that first.
So Brock Nelson did not get moved.
Yes, he did.
Or not Brock Nelson, Brock Besser. Sorry.
Okay, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I didn't. Ryan Donato did not. Scott did. Bo Byram did not. Brandon Carlo did. John Gibson did not. Mario Ferraro.
I don't think he did.
He did not.
Wildly.
Miko did. Riley Smith did. And Casey Milstead. So one. 5 out of my 10.
I'd say that's pretty good.
And then my honorable mention, Alex Tuck, I truly thought would get moved to a team that wanted that.
I can't believe it.
But
I can't believe Vegas didn't do more, by the way.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Well, they didn't have the ability to put someone on LTIR.
Did they not?
No.
Petro.
Defenseman.
Wait, no. Theodore. Who else is on the...
I think that's it.
You can't put another player on LTIR.
I think they only have one guy.
I guess no one's hurt.
Oh, is William Carlson on LTIR?
No, I just mean I can't believe they didn't like trade all of their draft capital for somebody. You know what I mean? Like they usually do. Really weird. I guess they're dead set. I mean, they're going to make a run. Like we said, the West is a gauntlet. But
all right.
Yep.
Run through the games real quick.
Yep. All right. Blues at Stars. We lose 6-3. It was a gong show. Like we put up 40-something shots against Ottinger. He was insane. 4 penalties, 4 power play goals for the Stars. Not good. And Johnson had a hat trick of power play goals. Not good. Too many penalties. We're 30th in league in the penalty kill. Like we controlled the pace, but when you take 4 penalties and you get scored on all of them, it kills every bit of momentum. So that sucks. Okay, Blues, they travel out to L.A. We win in the shootout 3-2. Thomas had a heck of a game. Binnington played great. Killed both penalties. Parayko got hurt in overtime, and he's out for the season. Yeah. I want to say a bad word right now, but I won't.
This is awful. But it happened the day before the deadline, and I was like, oh, cool. We're going to go get someone to help. No, we did not.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I agree that we should have went out and got, like, a Luke Shen or something like that. But other than that, no.
In talking with Ferrario on Twitter, though, he's like, do you sit Tucker over Shen? And I was like, I don't know. I would probably play Shen. But Tucker did come in last night. He's played solid games these couple
of years. He's been a heck of a young player. All right. Blues then travel up to Anaheim. They win 4-3. This was kind of a scary ending to this one. Played great. Third period was 4 goals, 2 from both teams. Binnington, great game again. Shen, awesome, as he's been for a while. Torpo finally scores. And Bolduc staying hot, too. The puck went across the goal line like a half second after the buzzer sounded. Scary, man. Can't, like, you played the lose in the last 5 minutes of that game. And it translated into this next one, too, which I'll just run through real quick. We lose 2-1 in L.A. We keep playing these guys, and I can't stand them now. Kopitar had a heck of a tip-in on Hofer, and then Letty finally scored. It's his first goal in literally a year and a month. And it was against the Kings, his last goal, so good for him.
Yeah.
He's got 2 points now. Yay. And then... the last 5 minutes of the game, played to lose. We go to overtime. Byfield hounds us. Terrible play by Holloway and Broberg. He roofs it on Hofer. Game over.
It was a nice goal, though.
Yes.
It was a solid goal.
Steal a point.
Which, hey, we got a point.
Thank God. I thought we were going to lose in regulation. I will say our scoring on the defensive end has been like top 5 in the league since Four Nations. That's awesome. Letty looked great. Joel Hofer haters need to sit down for this one. He was unreal. He kept us in the game, made some unbelievable saves. The tip in, can't do anything about it. So if anything, he's our first start. So good for him. Okay, let's get into what we think about standings and all that. We get a point in LA last night.
And
you're off for 3 days until Thursday to play Pittsburgh. We're not
in a good spot, if I'm being honest, though. With
I think we're fine. Like, you can't have but, you can't be upset. Like, we were awful like 2 months ago.
The other thing, though, is like the issue we're going to run into is the games at hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Vancouver has 3 games at hand on us.
Yeah, but they play today, so it'll
they be play two. Today, so we'll see. Which I don't know who they play today.
They play Dallas.
Dallas, please. Please, 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 please.
We haven't gotten any help from anybody that's the week. Other thing.
Is that the three between the Blues, Calgary, and Vancouver, everyone kind of stood pat or traded off a little bit. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It's one where Doug, even in his press conference talking about not making any moves, said it's an uphill battle. We got to pay a little bit better than 650 hockey for the rest of the season. So I think looking at the schedule, looking at everything, like, you got to have some upsets here. Like, I think Minnesota is now a must win.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is a win. Minnesota is a must win. You can beat Anaheim. You can beat Nashville. You have to beat Vancouver.
Yep.
And Chicago, you got to win. Nashville, you got to win. We suck on these back-to-backs, it looks like. So that's not been good for us. And then Colorado. Like, you have to beat Colorado as well. Like,
yeah.
There's some teams that you have to beat now. And you can't lose these games. So, like, we need, like, a 5-game win streak here again.
Yeah, and this is what I mentioned. I mentioned it. You need 4 5-game win streaks. Yep. And we were 1 away last time. Could have kept her going there. Now we're 2-0-1 in this one. So let's win the next 2 and go 4-5 on this 5-game stretch. Yep. And then you then go 10 in a row. Like, just do it. Like,
yeah.
Kind of, you almost have to. I mean, the Vancouver game on March 20th, you have to come out and win that game. Both teams are going to be playing their hearts out. You have to come out and dominate that hockey game and show who's boss.
Yeah.
And make your case.
So it's going to come down to a lot of luck in a way.
You need other teams to beat the guys we're going up against. You know, like, we really need Dallas tonight. Then we're really going to need so-and-so for the rest of the year. And we just have to focus on going on some 5-game win streaks, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Parayko being out is one of the worst things that could happen to this hockey team. But I genuinely think the defense has just been so great. Like,
yeah, and you played last night. Technically, I will give the benefit of the doubt in LA. You played without Parayko and Cam Fowler.
Yeah. Let's not forget Cam Fowler. You're a
happy father. And healthy baby.
I think congrats, his name is Bo. I kind of love it. Bo Fowler.
Love it.
Congrats to him. We really needed you out there.
Yeah.
Letty stepped up.
Letty did. Letty played everything you needed him. I just wish we have the Kessel of last year back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him.
I don't know either. And it's,
he really didn't make his case to take that where Tucker is. Like, he just
Tucker has not held on to that spot, in my opinion. And I think Tucker should be your third line pair.
I agree. Especially if Suter isn't allowed to play by his wife. Then it needs to be Tucker.
Yep.
And then Doug needs to think about what he needs to do in the offseason, which we knew this. I knew this was going to happen. I knew we weren't going to do anything. It's just the way it is. We've never been a deadline team.
Unless we would have been, like, awful after the Four Nations break. That was the only way.
Oh, yeah. Then we'd be selling off, baby.
Here's the thing that it's even worse right now. It's like, if we miss the playoffs by that point, which I think is very likely here still, that we could just miss it just by a point or two. Your draft pick is awful then.
I mean,
we've never had,
like, lotto picks, you know, besides Eric Johnson.
Yeah, but then you look at what we talked with Mike a couple weeks ago about this draft. Once you get past, like, the top 5.
Yeah, it's not that great.
And it's almost like, let's move back to get a later pick in the first and another second round. Like, that's kind of where I'm at, where I'd almost rather move back in the draft and get capital.
I mean, I'm okay with trading our first round pick when the time comes.
Doug does not seem like he wants to move that pick.
When he sees something in the works and he needs this traded, he will, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's always been transparent.
Yeah. Which Mike talked me off a cliff here. I was fuming at the deadline. Dude, I was
you
mad.
You texted me some crazy stuff. I was like, buddy, what are you talking about?
I think for me, I wanted to like just get a little bit of reinforcements for the guys because
I agree with you. Like, because it sucks that Kessel can't play in the AHL playoffs, not because we had to bring him up. Like could have prevented that by getting a couple, like throwing a first round pick out to get something, right? Overpaying.
The other thing too, you could have gotten Eric Johnson for a year at $1 million to finish the season up.
Right. I mean, like that's another one, right? And that's a great player. And I agree. I just that's the one thing I think I agree on is we could have gotten
a there were depth pieces that you didn't have to spend everything on.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's just hard. Like, it's hard to say you want to do that when you don't think you're going to win the Stanley Cup.
I get it. Yeah.
We're going to lose draft capital to add a one-year rental for a team that's just fighting to get in. Like that, when you play it out like that, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it can to some people. Like, genuinely, like me and you, we agree that if you do that, it'd be great because we want playoff hockey. Like, we need it in St. Louis. But Army's like, nah, I'd rather just draft. So,
I will see my soapbox, though, of everyone saying that this ownership group and management's just like the Cardinals. They are not.
Oh,
like,
I saw that. I was fuming.
We are not the Cardinals. Doug Armstrong is not Mozeliak. Like,
no, dude.
It just is infuriating. This ownership group has spent to the cap year in and year out. And I get it. We could have had like $18.5 million in LTIR right now. But you are still paying Torrey Krug, who hasn't touched the ice. Now you're paying Parayko's not playing. Like, I'm sorry. It just is not in the cards. So
we're also just not in the spot as a team. Like,
no.
The team's playing so well.
And
there's no reason to break anything up. You know,
and like, very honest, going into next year, we still are going to be a bubble playoff team.
Of course.
So, like, we're another 1 to 2 years away before we can say, like, nope, we're a playoff team. Unless we are blown away by this offseason.
Which,
we'll see.
I have hope that Doug Armstrong has some, like, he's already talking. Like, he says, oh, we were trying to get some trades going for this deadline.
There was some hockey talk trades.
I think he was throwing bait out for, like, later. You know what I mean? Like, I have hope for Armstrong. I always do.
Yeah.
People hate him just to hate him.
Yeah.
Like, now you can hate Mozeliak. Like, I do. Like, he's awful. And the ownership group. But Stillman and Armstrong, they aren't out here to try and, like, save a couple bucks. Like,
my thing too is that Stillman is out there talking to people, shaking hands, being pleasant. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
he's an owner of the people in a way, and he doesn't seem snooty to me.
No,
compared to the DeWitts. So,
yeah.
All right, I digress. But another episode in the books.
Yeah,
I love it.
A longer one too. We're almost at an hour.
Oh, heck yeah. We haven't done an hour-long episode in a hot second here.
Yeah. Josh and I are going to have some business cards laid out in the Across the Board storefront. Eventually, we just need to reach out to Mrs. McDaniel and have a little phone call with her to talk through the next steps with that. So shout out to the Across the Board yet again. We love you guys. You guys are the best, genuinely.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Who doesn't want one of these?
Dude, I was in the mall on Saturday.
They're so cool.
So cool. They had a little sign up, now sell it, or now featuring NHL Penny Game. I walked in there, dude. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, And to know that this, and to know this stuff is handmade is even cooler.
Handmade here in St. Louis. And when I say handmade, they put the time and effort in to make sure they have a quality product.
100%. Okay. Well, Blues play on Thursday against the Penguins. So we get to watch some other teams hopefully lose.
Also, and another exciting interview coming up here soon with the name to be released here soon.
Yes, we will toss out a little teaser, I think, as we did before for Mr. Magmire. So good stuff. We love you guys. Thanks for all the follows and subscriptions and the shares and the likes and all that. And thanks for just listening.
Yeah.
I just like seeing the numbers, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
10 a week, I'm happy, baby.
Yeah. And as always, and we're growing a lot better than I thought we would. So
yeah.
That being said, we love you guys. And as always, let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues.
Hello, listeners. Josh here to tell you about the story of Across the Board and how it began. Husband and wife duo Ryan and Kim McDaniel dreamt of beginning their own business together while enjoying drinks on their patio. Thanks to an after-dinner party with family, their dreams began to take shape, and Across the Board, handcrafted wooden board games began. With Ryan's construction background and Kim's marketing and business experience, they began to design board games for family and friends. Several years later, they started a garage hobby, which grew into a warehouse operation, which is still steadily growing today. Sadly, Ryan went through a battle with colon cancer and peacefully passed in 2015. Kim uses his strength, hope, and true love to inspire and drive the force behind Across the Board. It is truly a pleasure to be sponsored by a great business and an even better family. If you'd like to learn more about Across the Board, please check out our bio with their links. If you're going to search them, go to www.shopatbgame.com or visit their locations in Crestwood and West County Mall in De Pere. For any other questions, don't hesitate to give them a call at any of their offices. It's a family business that we love and we love to support. And like always, the 5 Minute Major podcast is here to support STL local businesses, just like they're helping us.